Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for your warm welcome. It's, do you know, it's so wonderful to be here again. This is our third time on behalf of the Equip team that are here, and it's just such a privilege to be here. And we're just really thankful for our relationship with Steve and Lisa, and lots of you all here that we've just got good relationships with. And do you know, I think really feel like God's doing something in the church in this area. And we need one another, don't we? We need one another. We all have a different reflection of who God is. And when we come together, oh boy, it's going to be incredible. We really will demonstrate who God is in just an amazing way that not one particular church can do. And that's why I love Equip so much, because it's people from different churches coming together, and it's just so beautiful. And so I just want to share a message with you. I'm going to try and keep it quick, so there's lots of time for the Equip team to come up, because they've been praying and asking God for some words of encouragement for you here this morning. So I want to give as much time as possible to them. But I really feel like God's put on my heart a word of encouragement just before they come up. So I've got some slides. So I think Abigail's on the slides. So can I have the first slide, Abigail? That'd be great. I want to introduce you to Alfie. Now, Alfie is some friends of ours' dog, and we went for a walk recently with them, and Alfie came on this walk. And we were warned as we went on this walk that Alfie likes sticks, and he really likes you to throw sticks. And he will keep persisting until you throw the stick. So if you don't want to have to do that for the whole of the walk, then he'll be fine, just ignore him, you see. So I thought, right, okay, I'm just going to ignore Alfie and we're going to walk. We set off on the walk. Immediately he found a stick, and you were walking, he would drop it in front of you, a few paces in front of you, run off waiting. And so I would walk on past the stick, and he would rush back, get the stick, run ahead a few paces, drop the stick, run off waiting. And I would carry on walking. And I felt really bad, actually. But I just thought, I don't want to have to keep doing this all the time. You know, he'll get the idea. Well, he did not get the idea. In fact, the whole of the walk, he did that. Eventually, I did give up, and I did start throwing the stick because I couldn't bear it any longer. But, you know, there was something about what he was doing that really struck me, and something I think that we don't get right very often. The thing is, Alfie never gave up. Honestly, he didn't look discouraged. He didn't look like, oh, what's the point of this? She's not going to do it. Every single time, he looked at me with expectation, like, you're going to do it. You're going to do it this time. You're going to do it this time. And it really spoke to me. And I thought, you know, I feel like he's got a message for us this morning, Alfie. So this is me speaking, this is Alfie, because honestly, God spoke to me through that persistence. And the message is about hope, because Alfie demonstrated hope that is really biblical, and I don't think we get right very often. So if I could have the next slide, Abigail, thank you. You know, we live in a world, an epidemic of hopelessness, don't we? You don't need to look very far in the world, and there's a lot of discouragement, disappointment, despondency in the world. The world needs hope, doesn't it? But you know, I think we need hope in the church too. I think we lack a lot of hope in the church. And you know, hope is vital to life. And I think if we are not experiencing the abundant life that Jesus has for us, we need to look at our hope levels. You know, and it's time for the church to be the answer to the cry of hopelessness in the world around us. But it starts with us. It starts with me. I need to be overflowing with hope in order to overflow to the world around me, to the people I meet, because they need it. And I need to be overflowing in hope. And this is something that I've been like, God has been really speaking to me about this. And I really feel like it's for not just me, but it's for all of us. So if I can have the next slide, I'm going to read you a verse in Romans. And it's Romans 15:13. I don't know whether you can read it, but I'm going to read it. If you can't see it, I'm going to read it anyway. I love this verse. And Paul is saying, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope. by the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know whether you've heard of a new version of the Bible called the Passion Translation. I really encourage you to read it. It's amazing. But I'm going to read you that verse in the Passion Translation of the Bible. It says, "Now may God, the inspiration and foundation and fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and peace as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround you, your life, with his superabundance until you radiate with hope." Who wants to radiate with hope this morning? I want to be overflowing. I want to be superabundant. I want to experience that joy, don't you? We do, don't we? You know, there's three things I want to just pull out quickly. The first thing is from that verse, is that God is the source of hope. Our hope is not in our feelings. Our hope is not in our circumstances. Our hope comes from God. It's the only place we can get hope from. Sometimes we're looking for hope in situations changing, and we need to take our eyes off that and onto God, because he's the only one who has hope. But secondly, if you notice, it says, may he fill you with joy and peace as you trust him, so that you will overflow in hope. You know, sometimes I think if we're lacking in hope, we need to ask for more joy and peace, because hope comes from having more joy and peace in our life. It's the overflow of joy and peace. If you see somebody who's full of joy and full of peace, there is a hope that radiates from them, isn't there? There's something that just like is hope. They have carry hope. And we need more joy and peace, don't we, in order for us to overflow, be the overflowing of hope. And you know, Paul is not talking about a little bit of hope sometimes on our good days. It actually says, overflow with hope. And that word means a hope without measure, superabundant, exceedingly above. It's just like there's no end to this hope. It's not you get a little bit, I get a little bit, you get a little bit. We have unlimitless hope available to us. And how amazing if we really read that. You know, I would say that all of us fall short of really living in that verse. But there's probably not one of us here who says we want to be more joyful, more peaceful, or more hopeful, is there? We all want to experience that more in our life. So what is it all about? What is this hope then, and how do we grow in it? You know, kind of the next slide. Hope, how we define hope is not how the Bible defines hope. You see, our hope is, I hope it doesn't rain today. Or I hope the cat doesn't get lost. Or I hope I get a pay rise. That sort of hope is like wishful thinking. We're not really believing it. It's this vague wishful thinking, a hope. But actually, that's not what the Bible talks about. There are two words in the Bible. There's one in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, and one in the New Testament, the Greek word for hope. And the Greek word for hope is elpis. And it means a joyful and confident expectation of good. A joyful and confident expectation of good. And Alfie had that. He had that. If dogs could be joyful, he was joyful. He was confidently expectant. He never gave up. He displayed biblical hope. It's the rock-solid assurance that something wonderful is going to happen. It's actually trusting in God's promises. It's not vague. It's not a hope. I hope God hears me. It's saying, Lord, you promised, so I'm putting my hope and my trust in you. The Hebrew word is similar. It means that longing, that expectation. But there's another interesting definition of that, and it's a chord. And I don't know whether you've seen the big ships that come and moor, really, really big ships that have those big ropes that you tie to the moor, wherever it's called. Well, in order to get that rope over, what they do is throw something called a messenger line, which is a smaller rope, and they throw it over and they tie the big rope to it. And hope is like that. Hope is sort of like reaching out to something which is assurance that faith will then bring into reality. So hope, we need hope before we have faith. Hope produces faith. There's an illustration of that in the Old Testament. Do you remember the story of Rahab the prostitute, who actually hid the spies, the Israelite spies, and kept them safe and allowed them to get out safely? And as a reward for what she did, they told her, if you hang this cord, this scarlet cord, in your window, then you will be safe. You and your family will be safe. That word, if you look at the Hebrew for that word, it's the Hebrew word for hope, the tikvah. And it actually meant she was hanging hope in the window, hope of salvation, hope of rescue. She was actually displaying something. And actually, hope is real. It's something you can take hold of. It's not vague, it's not woolly, it's not a wishy-washy thinking. It's something solid that we can get hold of, and that is what biblical hope is all about. The next slide, please, Abigail. Thank you, you're doing a good job there. Abraham showed us really well what hope was. Do you remember God promised that he would be the father of many nations? And except there was a problem, wasn't there? He was 100. And his wife was 90 and they had no children. But yet God had got this promise that he would be a father of many nations. And in Romans, Paul talks about Abraham and he says, you know, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. And so he became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him. He didn't deny the natural. He didn't say, no, I'm young, we're still fertile. He didn't deny the reality. But what he did say, against the hopelessness, in the hopelessness, I'm holding on to hope. I'm holding on to what God said, his promises over my life. And that I think that his ability to do that actually enabled him to step into the promises. I wonder if he hadn't done that, whether he would actually have seen that. I really believe that hope is something that is firm and it ties us to the promises of God. It's saying, I know my situation might not look very good, but God, you said this, and my hope is in you. You know, when we start to look at our difficulties, we lose sight of God. And we need to take our eyes off our situation and we need to put our eyes onto God. And that's what Abraham did. Disappointment eats away at hope. And the older we get, I've found, is that more likely to happen, because we've had more situations where we could get disappointed. And that's why children have so much hope, because they've not learned to get, and they've not had disappointments. And there's something I think we need to deal with really well. I'm going to look at that in a little bit, about how we deal with disappointments well, because disappointment eats away at hope. You know, every time something difficult happens, God is there to redeem it. No situation in our life is too difficult for him. He wants us to have hope and to trust him in every area in our life, and particularly those areas which we find difficult at the moment. So how do we overflow with hope then? The final slide. Well, firstly, we have to remember the promises and the goodness of God, like I said. You see, hope comes, like we said at the beginning, from God. May the God of hope fill you. He wants us to have hope, but it comes from knowing him. It comes from that intimate relationship with him, knowing what he's saying to us. And you may say to me, well, Janet, it's all very well you saying this, but you don't know what I have to deal with at the moment. No, I don't. And I'm not underestimating how difficult sometimes our situations are. But hope, as we said, is not dependent on our circumstances going well. It's not dependent on everything going well in our life. Actually, we can have the gift of hope right in the middle. Yes. I really believe that. And I believe that we'll start to see our situations different when we can get that hope. Because there's something, our sight gets lifted. You know, in the book of Lamentations, I don't know whether anyone's read that book. It was written after the siege and the destruction of Jerusalem. It's actually a book of poems of lament, of somebody pouring out their heart of despair out to God. How bad the situation is, how difficult it is. Actually, the situation for Jerusalem and the Israelites couldn't have been worse. It was really bad. They had to go into exile after this. But if you look at chapter 3, there's a really good explanation of hope. So this person is pouring out his heart. Yeah, you know, everything's destroyed. It's really bad. And there's in verse 21, listen to this. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. Hope, it's everywhere in the Bible if you look at it. There's so much about hope. So despite the distress, despite the despair, despite the hopeless situation, he's actually reminding himself of how good God is. That God is faithful, that God is sure, that he's always the same. He never gives up. He's not taken by surprise about your situation. He's not going, oh, how did they find themselves in that situation? I don't know what I'm going to do now. He knows. He knows the answer to your situation. Hope comes through patience and endurance. Oh. Hope is based not on what we see. And it's hard to have hope when you don't see things changing sometimes, isn't it? When you keep holding on, how do you keep holding on a little bit more? But in Romans it says, for hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what they see? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. We don't need hope when we already have it. Hope is when we don't have it. When we can't see the breakthrough, we haven't seen the fulfillment of that promise. We haven't seen our situations change. That's when we really need hope. Do you remember, in the Olympic Games or lots of big sporting events, when people, athletes, they get the gold or whatever, or any medal, the stories come out of their journey. And, there's something that is similar to the athlete's journey to Christian hope. Because what they do is they train and they keep their eyes focused on the goal. They don't get distracted. They don't allow discouragements or pain or the what ifs. What if I don't get that goal? What if I'm not fit enough? What if this happens? If they allowed those to dominate their thinking, they would not actually succeed. So it's very similar to Christian hope. They actually fix their eyes. You know, it says we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. They fix their eyes on the goal, on the promise, on what he said to them, what their aim is. But we fix our eyes on what he said to us. And it is so similar to Christian hope. And we need to do that with the lies of the enemy, because the enemy wants to taunt us. See, God's never going to turn up. Things are never going to be any different. It's not going to change. Those are the lies of the enemy. Those are the things that, I think somebody said at the beginning, we need to stop. I think it was Delicia said, we're listening to other voices. We need to listen to the one voice, because he is the source of our hope. 2 Corinthians 4 says, therefore we do not lose hope. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Hope is a reward for our patience and our endurance. And the final key, really, is what I mentioned before, is how we deal with disappointment. Such a big, big issue. In Proverbs 13, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So hope that we don't actually is put off, hope is that is stopped, hope that we don't have the fulfillment of, can make the heart sick, but a longing achieved is a tree of life. If we have unresolved hurt or disappointment in our lives, we can start acting out of that disappointment. We can lose hope. We can stop believing. We stop believing. We stop allowing ourselves to be hopeful. Because what if we get disappointed again? And it robs us. It keeps us trapped. You know, the hopelessness about a problem is worse than the problem itself. Hopelessness about the problem or the circumstance here is worse than the problem itself, because God has an answer for the problem. It's the hopelessness that we need to deal with. There's an author called Francis Frangipane. I don't know whether you've heard of him. He's written quite a few books. And he said, if there's any area of your life that does not glisten with hope, then you're believing a lie. And that area is the stronghold of the enemy. If there's any area of your life that does not glisten with hope, we can have hope in one area, but not in that area over there. We can be hopeful for this, but there's a little area over there. We don't go there, thank you very much, because we've lost hope. We've become disappointed. So you might have, you know, you might, with your health, you might have had breakthrough, and you're like, I am hopeful that God is going to turn up and going to, you know, heal me. But yet, finances? No. You know, any area. And God wants us to have hope in every area of our life, even the little bits around the corner that we don't really bring out very often. And what do we need to do then with that? What do we need to do if we feel like we've got disappointment? And I've been doing this in the areas that I felt disappointed about. We need to get alone with God and be honest. He knows anyway. He knows how we're feeling anyway. But you know, in our honesty, we're not about blaming God, but we're about saying, do you know, it feels like God, you're not here for me. It feels like nothing's going to change. I know that's not the case, because you've said that you're good all the time. So I'm missing something. Would you show me? Would you show me my situation? Would you give me the truth about my situation? Father, I need hope in that particular situation. So what is your word? Because hope comes from the promises over our life. And the team are going to come up very shortly and share some words of encouragement. These are the words that we need to hold on to. These are the words we need to write down and keep reading. In those times when it's difficult, we need to read those words, those promises. Write them in your journal. Write them down. If, you know, open the Bible and say, God, give me a promise. Give me a truth about my situation that I can hold on to. Because that is where hope comes from. The situation looks like this, yes. But you say this, and my hope is in this. My hope's not in that. My hope is in you. And we need to choose to place our trust in him, to trust him, not trust our circumstances. We need to ask him to fill us with hope for that situation. So as I'm closing, I want to just remind you, if you take one thing from my message, I want to remind you that hope is possible. Overflowing hope is possible in every situation of your life. Not just the good situations. Think of the worst situation, the thing that you're struggling most about this morning. Hope, overflowing hope is possible in that situation. In fact, God wants you to have overflowing hope in that situation. I want you to take that away with you. And I'm going to invite the team up. That's great. And if you have, if they give you a word, or you feel like that word's for you, take it. I'm having that one. Even if it was given to somebody else, you go, no, I'm having that one. Be greedy for what God has for you. And I just really encourage you, if something spoke to you, I'm sure there'll be time afterwards, we're going to be hanging around, come and get somebody to pray for you. Come and, like, you know, get them and say, that was me, will you pray for me in that area? So I'm going to pass it on to Alison first.
Hi. Very encouraging, Pete, how you started with the worship, because I was praying yesterday for your church and I had a word, and then Pete was saying
it right before we started the worship, and then Janet's word and everything, we didn't know what we were going to be bringing. So I'm just very encouraged, because I also have lamentations for you. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I really felt when I was praying for the church, yes, for your church, I felt that God really wants to do a new thing. And I had a real sense of the blowing of the Holy Spirit, that he wants to blow right through the church. But I had a picture of doors, lots of shut doors, closed doors. And I felt it was discouragement and disappointment, you know, and Janet, I didn't know Janet was going to bring that word. I know for myself, you know, the older I get, the more stuff happens, you know, you get rejected, you get betrayed, you have bereavements, everything, you know, and you can get so disappointed that you actually get to a place of your expectation goes, really. You kind of live in this level of Christian life, not really expecting very much because you don't want to hope because you've been discouraged. And I've had to kind of overcome some of those things like Janet has and still working on things. So I really felt I had this picture of doors that were closed, and God wants you to, the handle and the key is on your side, and you have to open that door for the wind of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that as you do that, the wind of the Holy Spirit is going to come, and he wants to lift your expectation and your experience and remind you perhaps like when you first got saved and your first love and all those wonderful things and encounters with God that you've had in the past that you may have forgotten about and come to a lower level of expectation. I really believe he wants to do a new thing today. So I'd like to pray with you in response to Janet's message and that picture, if that's okay. I'd really love it if you could stand with me, because I feel like that's an active thing to do instead of, you know, sometimes we can be a bit passive. And if you identify with this, you know, just engage with the prayer, but you know, you have to kind of identify, yeah, that I feel that that's the case. So Father God, we just acknowledge that you are the God of all hope, that you are the God who wants to lift us to a new place, and you want to bring that hope and faith and vision and increase it in our lives. And Lord, I believe that you want to do new and wonderful things that we do not know, that you want to take us back to our first love, but also, Lord, you want to expand on that and you want to blow through our lives. But Father God, first of all, we have to deal with those things in our lives, Father God, that, you know, the door might be closed, and even those discouragements and disappointments can often be like we've put boxes in front of the door and the door's a bit kind of blocked. So I just pray that, you know, if you can just, I just ask you to envision the door of your heart and ask the Lord if there's blockages, if you've put like bits of junk in front of it, you know, you're fired up, like a fire door at work, you know, you've kind of, those discouragements have blocked up your expectation and your hope. And just remember those wonderful things that God has done in the past, that he wants to do great and wonderful things again. He wants to do a new thing, a new move of the Spirit. But first of all, you have to take those boxes from the front of the door, move the boxes, discouragement, disappointment, and refuse to let them define you anymore and define your future. You may need to spend some time with the Lord this week doing that. But I just want you to take a hold of that door, put the key in the lock, and open it. Open it wide. And say, Lord, I am here. Lord, I long for you. I long for the move of your Spirit. I long for you to raise my expectation and my faith and my hope again. And I open the door. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And we ask that you blow right through this church. Blow through our lives. Blow through those doors. Blow the doors off, Lord, so that there will never be a door again blocking you, Lord. We can't close them again because you've blown them off with your power and your grace. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and bring a new thing, new expectation, new faith, new vision, new joy, and new hope. We bless you, Lord. We open that door for you, Lord, not to close it again. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Alison. Okay. Yeah, you can introduce yourself.
Okay, so I'm Tracy, and my word came this morning in a dream. And I didn't make sense of the dream at first. I just thought it was a dream, but it was only when I started writing it down that I realised actually it was a word for somebody, or I think maybe for a few people. And what it was I don't know, miles away, doing normal things, and there was this little person that was totally insignificant that was hoovering up at the side, just hoovering up, and then all of a sudden the dream transported to a swimming pool. We swam deep down into a swimming pool, and it turned out that all this hoovering up was hoovering up all the jewellery and all your treasures and things like that. So within the swimming pool then, all the treasures were stuck in the trap. So they were in this trap, and then whoever this word is for, they got like lots and lots of extra oxygen to be able to breathe, and were pulling all these gifts and everything that was stuck, and they were taking them all out, and then bringing them up and then saying, I've got all these gifts, all these that were stuck in the trap. And I think what it was that whoever was hoovering up was very subtly taking away all your dreams and your talents and your gifts, and was hiding them within the trap. And I think what the dream meant was, you only have to go down and pick them back up again, because they've been stolen from you. So just go and grab them, pick them back up again, and then go run with it and start using them again. So I don't know who it was for, whether it was for one person, two people, but yeah, just they've not gone anywhere. They've just been hidden for a bit.
Thank you. Hello, my name's Kevin. Janice said last Monday that we could pray for a word for today, so it's not scary. And I was praying, and I got this image, and I said, and then I got the word. And what I usually do is I get something in my head and I write, and then by the time I finish writing is the message. And I went, brilliant, God, lovely message for me, but what about Sunday? And then last night it was still nothing. Then it just came into my head that if I was thinking this and thought the message was for me, then maybe somebody else is in the same situation, and the message is also for you. So I'll just write down what I wrote, and I tend to write down as I speak, so your grammar's out the window straight away. You think of yourself as an open book, and you feel that if the world read the book, they'll think of you as a good person. Well, you're scared that if God reads the book, he'll see that you're lacking and unworthy. This is where my words come into it. Don't beat yourself up about it. God sees you as a much loved child, still taking baby steps in the right direction, sometimes stumbling along the way. You're not walking towards Jesus, you're walking alongside him. Don't be afraid to hold out your hand and get support by him. You think you have to get to a certain point before you're worthy enough to ask for help. Get it into your head, you're already at that point. Ask now, he's waiting. And I got John 15:27, and you will tell everyone the truth about me. For you will walk along with me from the start. You will walk along with me from the start. Walked along. It doesn't say you ran after me. You was behind me. He's by the side of you. And that was the message I got. And the funny thing was that as soon as I walked into this building, Alison said this is the building her husband was saved in. And as I walked in this building, it's the spitting image of the building I went in around Heaton Park, Prestwich Way, and it was 45 years ago. And it's where I put my hand up and was saved for the first time as part of the Crusader organisation. And as soon as I walked into this building, it brought it all back. And God and Jesus has been by the side of me since then.
That's good.
Hi, my name's Victoria. I've got a word for a lady. I felt God gave me a name, but I had a bit of a discussion with him because I said, how can this be? Anyway, the name I got was Carol.
Say that again.
The name I got was Carol. And the word? You tend to feel insignificant, unnoticed, and not valued at times. You have experienced many storms in life and felt very alone and misunderstood. Even felt betrayed at times. You are well acquainted with sorrow and grief. The Lord says that this is your time to shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. You are not forsaken, but much loved and valued. Your heavenly Father holds you in very high regard. Every tear that you have cried has been bottled by him. He is the restorer of your broken walls. He has kept track of all your sorrows. He has collected all your tears in a bottle. He has recorded each one in his book. Psalms 56, verse 8. The latter part of your life will be more blessed than the former. Your tears have been prayers too. They have traveled to God when you could not speak.
Right. Well, I've been praying about a word to give, and when I was praying on Thursday morning, my dog called Millie, who looks a bit like that, but she's a cockapoo, the one I'd be like, Alfie, came and jumped on my lap, and she got right in my face, and she licked my face, and we were like nose to nose, and I had no other option but to stop reading, stop praying, and just give her a cuddle and a kiss. Yes, I do kiss my dog. But anyway, as I was doing that, the Lord just gave me a word to share this morning, and it may be just for one person or for a few people, but he says that he absolutely loves it when you spend time with him and get in his face. His word says, let me see your face, for your face is lovely and your voice is sweet. That's from Song of Songs 2:14. He loves those times of intimacy with you. He loves the fun and the joy your closeness brings him. And it's in that place that he strengthens you and equips you for the life he wants you to live. I sense the overwhelming joy and great pleasure that the Father has when you're close to him. And he says, there's more that I want to give you. Get in my face, look into my eyes and hold my gaze so that I see only you and you see only me. You're my favourite. Make it all about me and you. Refuse to settle and be satisfied with what you already know of me so far. There are riches and mysteries that I want to show you. Dig deeper. Stay longer. You're my beloved child. I love you. I love you. I love you. Mwah. So it's just a word that let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. And the Hebrew word for kiss there is nashak, and it can also mean to equip or to arm for battle. And we need his kisses to become equipped warriors for him.
Yeah, that's good.
Morning, or is it afternoon already? My name's Angela. I had a picture, actually. There was a bus stuck, not quite stuck, but on a hill, on the side of a hill, with a person behind it, pushing, trying to push this bus up the hill. Right. This is a word for someone who feels that they're pushing this bus uphill all alone. And it seems an impossible task, and they're tired. And God wants you to know that actually he has put others in place to help you. He hasn't taken the hill away. Because he loves you, he has provided others to help you. So what you need to do is ask. There are people there, there are resources there to help you. You do not have to do this alone. Ask and you will receive. So if anybody would need requires prayer about a difficult situation that's not going away and feels alone, I'm happy to pray with you after.
I had a couple of visions actually in the worship. I tend to get my words when I or see things when I'm actually in a place. So the first one, and I love how the Lord speaks to me in that way. He showed me when I first became saved the ladder with the angels ascending and descending, and then I read it in his word. I was overcome. It was just brilliant. So this is how he talks to me. In the worship, I just want to clarify what Janet and Alison was saying to the church, really. And I saw the leaders of the church. So I saw you, some of the guys here, and you were walking, and the floor was had treacle all over it. And you're trying to walk really quick and determined in like a certain way, and then you'd clunk like this, and your steps were really slow, and you couldn't get, and you could see this where you needed to be, but you just couldn't. And you couldn't work out what was happening. And you just felt like, I'm moving, but it's not quick enough. And then I saw the Lord come in. It was funny in the vision. It was really good. With a jet wash. And jet washed the whole floor in front of you. And all of a sudden you went, oh, like this. And the Lord released you immediately. And I feel whatever has gone on before, forget it. Those are the former things. Those are the things that are holding you down a little bit. It's the new things. And he's bringing in a new. And he's washing that away. And so it's time for you to walk and be purpose. And I feel that's a real word for the church. And that is today. I don't think that's coming. I think that's today. The lady with the pink jumper, I think, was it our children that played netball together? Yeah, I thought it was you. Had a word for you. I saw a spinning top, and you know sometimes you can set a spinning top going with two. You do it with strings, don't you? And you pull it, and it spins off. And I can see this thing spinning, and I thought that was you. You were just spinning. And you thought this is going to stop, and I don't know how I'm going to carry on when this stops. I don't know how I'm going to keep going. And the Lord said, "That's not who you are. Your capacity is massive. And people will say to you, you need to rest. Actually, that's not you. You need to keep going. Because that's where you find your strength. And as a spinning top, you're not going to stop and fall over. Because you've got huge capacity to keep going. So trust in the capacity and the strength and the gift that he's given you to keep going. Because it's really good. And people are well-meaning and will slow down, but actually you have the capacity to keep going and the strength to keep going. Does that? Yeah, okay. There's a knowing smile there, so yeah, okay. And there's just one other that I had a vision of, and it's the girl who actually looked back then in the beige jumper. And I saw, the clip in your hair, what do they call them? You know, the clips. So like where you they have teeth in, you know, and you put your hair up in them to do your hair. Do you know what I mean? The bulldog-like type clips. Yeah, but I saw this clip, and it was of a hold of a part of you. And there was a part of you that was on lockdown. And I felt the Lord say, tell her she needs to give me that part, because that's the thing that's just holding it back a little bit. There's just a tiny bit, and you need to just give him that. It's like you're frightened to let it go, and you've held it tight because you don't want to let go of this thing, and you don't want to. He knows. I don't know anything. He's not told me anything, but it's just, you know, there's something that just you need to just be confident and trust him and let go and just see it released. Is that okay? Yeah.
I had a word for the gentleman with the glasses and the scarf round, with the fair hair. And I saw a picture of a chicken coming out of an egg. And
and it was like an egg, and it was the chicken was sort of like breaking out, and the shell was cracking, and the chicken was emerging. And I feel like the Lord has got something new. There's going to be breakthrough in your life from the things that you felt maybe constraining, difficult. There's going to be a breakthrough. The shell is going to crack, and you're going to emerge, and He's going to show you who you really are.
Okay, I've got a word, and I think it's for the gentleman with the hat on. I think it's for you. Yeah, I really do think it's for you. And I saw a picture of a volcano. And the reason I think it's for you, by the way, is you really highlighted to me when you came in earlier on. Your smile, you've got love all over you. Absolutely all over you. And it was that I spotted as soon as you walked in, and I think that's the reason why it's for you. So I saw a picture of a volcano, and the volcano, where it blows, it was blocked by a big diamond, a huge diamond, and I think you're the diamond, okay? So you're on top of this volcano, and you're looking down at the world, and at the moment you're thinking, let me add on, but I don't know what to do. I'm a little bit scared, not quite sure where I'm going, but I want to go down there, I want to make a difference, I want to talk to people, I want to love people. Okay, and then all of a sudden what I saw was this volcano erupted, a huge eruption, and the diamond flew by, and was joined by some birds, and these birds did a twist and a big love heart. So I think what it's saying is, you've been waiting, you're going to roll up very, very soon, and the love that comes from it, it's already showing the love. I felt it as soon as you walked in, but that love, you're going to join, and you're just going to go out there and show so many people. Okay, so I just feel it for you. Okay.
So as I was getting ready this morning, the Lord was really stirring me about someone in the room, in fact probably not just one, needs to give their life to the Lord today. And I just felt there was a real stirring. And Angela just came to me then and said, we need to give an altar call. And I'd asked Stephen before we started, I just felt that there was a need for somebody to come to Jesus this morning, because He absolutely loves you. And if there's anyone in this room that would like to know Jesus, that would like Kevin said, to walk alongside Him for the rest of your life and to know His power in you and His love over you and His help in every day of your life, then I'd like you to just indicate now by just raising your hand. So if you would like to know Jesus, if you would love to get to know Him this morning, I just really invite you to raise your hands now. Don't miss an opportunity to walk with Him for the rest of your life, because He is so key. He is so key for your life. Okay, and also I just really felt that there was some people in the room that wanted to step up a gear. I felt there were some people that really didn't know what it was to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Just felt there was a call to do that, to speak in tongues. That's our heavenly gift from the Father. Helps us really tune into Him and listen to Him. I find it so valuable myself to do that. And if you're not free in that area, I'd love to pray with you. We're all here to pray with you. And we want to see you go for everything that God has for you, because He loves you so immensely. And if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you know the joy overflowing, the hope overflowing. If you don't feel like that, then let us pray with you, because we want to see that. And I know God wants to see that in you. So if you want to move deeper with Him, if you feel a bit stuck, like the vision of the tree, if you feel a bit stuck, then come, we'll break it and we'll see you move forward in Jesus. But if you want to, I want to go back because I just feel the Lord's speaking to me about it. But if you need to give your life to the Lord today, and you didn't want to raise your hand because you didn't want to show you're a bit nervous, then come see Stephen or myself or Janet afterwards, and we would absolutely love to pray with you. All right, so thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm going to pass over to Stephen now.
I just want to encourage you, if any of those words you feel are for you, that you pray with these guys or get prayed for or yeah, because I want to see the abundance of Christ in all you guys' lives really much. And he is good. He is good. We're going to worship one song.